Here's your beer, Aunt.
Like I picked the wrong week to quit drinking.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the Beer Dog Show.
We got some dog beers and not so dog beers, and the dog beers are pretty damn good. We're starting off with a selection from Flying Dog Brewery. And Flying Dog, you know, Rick, I'd always sort of not really glossed over them because they make nice, really nice beers, but they're a big microbrewery, right? And,
right.
I mean, you see them everywhere. But so I came across these, and I sent some. I thought it was pretty damn funny that I'm sending you beer that is literally made, I mean, down the street from you.
And I know that's happened quite a bit because you guys did that with Great Divide also.
Yeah. This is a Double Dog Pale Ale is our first beer. We got two selections from Flying Dog. And this attracted me because I've had some of their other beers, which were, you know, they're good. They're good beers. They could be everyday drinkers to me. And this had double pale ale, also known as Imperial Pale Ale, right?
That's good stuff.
It is good stuff. And when you say double pale ale, you're really kind of taking that Southern California term. You're gonna have some hop action going on. And these days, you know, we still see a lot of them. I don't know how long this is gonna last.
Well, I'm definitely feeling the bite. I went to buy some hops for a brew, a couple of brews that I want to do coming up, and basically I got 19 ounces of hops, the Magnum, some Kent Golding, some Simcoe. Had to go all over the place to find the Simcoe because there's like only one shop that was selling them online. Guess how much I spent on hops for 19 ounces.
And, you know, this is one of those things where it could be anywhere. You know, how much is gas today, right? I would guess, you know, thinking that you should be spending a couple of bucks an ounce.
But that was the old school. Now it's like $5 an ounce the average.
Jeez.
You know, the lowest was $4 an ounce. The highest was $6.25.
Which was that?
I don't remember.
It wasn't the Simcoe. I just wonder if it was the Simcoe was the high dollar one.
No, actually, Simcoe was free.
Really?
It was under $4. Yeah, we had Kent Goldings was $4 an ounce. Amarillo was $6 an ounce. Magnum, $6.25 an ounce. 4 ounces Simcoe at $3.50 an ounce.
That's
a grand total $90.
That's some pricey. And you said, didn't you tell me earlier that now it costs more than the malts? Or yeah. In there, it's like it's just shooting up.
Last year, $30 would have been enough to brew a batch of beer, you know, with the malts, the yeast, and the hops. Now it's just enough to cover the hops.
Wow. That's it's crazy times.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's going to get worse or better or what. You know, this Double Dog they were drinking, and I've already started, I've tasted it some. I poured into a stemmed glass with a tall body, and I don't know what you call this thing. It's not a white wine glass, but I use it to drink beers, and it kind of funnels the nose through. So I get a nice hop nose, and this is a dark beer. And I was looking, I told you that the malt that they showed on here was 120 caramel malt.
Yeah,
crystal malt.
Crystal 120, that's a love upon value.
Yeah, that's a dark and kind of getting on the rusty side almost. Right?
Yeah, definitely. So that's going to give you more of your caramel flavors and kind of a sweetness that's non-fermentable.
And I know you have to do that in order to carry the high IBUs, right?
This one is pretty high. It's 85 IBUs according to the bottle. 10.5% alcohol by volume.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty high.
That's way up there.
It's not the crazy 100s, but that's respectable. I've got here also alcohol by volume because with those lot of malts and hops, you got to have some alcohol behind it. 11.5%. That's some good numbers there. 11.5%, 85 IBU. 120 Crystal, the hops that shows Columbus, Millennium, and Cascade, which pretty mainstream hops, right?
Yeah, and Cascade, the one that's hard to get these days.
Yeah, you know, I hope not. I love the Cascade. Of course, I don't know if that, this is probably, the Columbus is probably their boil hop, and Millennium mid-boil, and Cascade for the finishing hop, the nose. And it says here in the process, here you go, double recipe of pale ale, dry hopped with an insane amount of Cascade and Columbus. Okay, so they're dry hopping it too. And did you catch what I just said?
That would kind of explain the huge nose that comes off it when I first open it up.
It's a double recipe of their pale ale. This is supposed to just be Flying Dog pale ale doubled, but it's not. It's much more than that.
And it won the best of show in the 2008 Bistro Double IPA Festival in Hayward, California. And there's a great blog write-up on that by Rick Sellers, who was the judge of the show.
Ah, there you go. Okay. And we've got a little interview from Eric Warner, CEO, head brewmaster guy of
CEO, Blend. President, brewmeister, German trained, and Weinstefan. Great guy all around.
Okay. And so this is something I stole off of one of their websites I'm going to tell you about in a minute, so let's give it a listen.
So the Double Dog Double Pale Ale was our first Wild Dog release. Wild Dog, and that coincided with our 10th anniversary of the brewery. And what we do is we like to release Wild Dogs, about twice a year. And it's kind of the whim of the brewer, you know, whatever they're kind of looking to make. 50 barrels, all in the 750 milliliter cork bottles, and when it's gone, it's gone. But for any Wild Dog that's really super successful, we put it in a 12-ounce bottle in our Canis Major series, which is our 4-packs. And at the time, the inspiration was really, okay, hey, what's a beer that would really commemorate our 10th anniversary well? And we looked to our flagship, Doggy Style Pale Ale, and said, well, how about if we make a double version of that? And we did a little recipe calculation and tweaking and did our 50-barrel batch. And fortunately, it turned out great. But it kind of sat for 2 years. You know, the 750s we sold out of right away, but we knew we had a great beer, and we just had a lot of consumer and distributor and retailer demand for that beer. There, you know, my sales guys were like, Eric, you know, when are we gonna make this double pale? We're getting all kinds of requests for it. So we finally got going on it, you know, around Christmas, and got the first batches in, and away we go.
That was Eric, and pretty interesting. They just basically took their flagship beer and doubled it.
Doubled it. More is better, right?
Yeah,
the American way.
I mean, it's obviously a little more than that because it's malt. I mean, this is some, you know, you couldn't cut this with the hops and the dry. I know they dry hop it and everything, but, you know, this would be a whole lot sweeter beer without all these hops.
Right. When you double a recipe, you really have to, the hops aren't necessarily just doubled. You have to do a little bit of math to get the correct alpha units and bittering to go on. So.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, you know, what's going to happen down the road with the hops? Are we going to start seeing some sweeter beers? And we've been drinking here last, God, 2 shows, I know, some, I think, less hoppy, more, let's call them alternate beers. We've had a lot of Lambics, the Goose from last show. And I was kind of wanting to get back to the Hop Monsters and try some, so this is definitely one.
Right, somebody that's going full steam ahead, damn the hop shortage, is Avery. They had a Society for the Pursuit of Hoppiness club that they just started.
And, yeah.
I got a membership for that. There was like 90 memberships available. 250 people showed up. Combined it with the Maharaja release party for the year. And if you paid $15, you get a t-shirt, become a member of the society, and then you get to sample off a special cake they had that night.
Yeah.
It was a double dry hopped Maharaja that they called Atianta Raja or Ultra King.
Okay.
That stuff was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. They are hop. They're hop crazy.
Every time I went to pee the next day, I smelled hops, I swear. So that's how many hops I had in my body.
That's one way to relive a moment. Well,
oh, yeah. It was amazing. It was kind of like eating a lot of asparagus or something. You know, you could smell the next day.
Yeah.
This was hop juice.
Well, one of the things I noticed on the Flying Dog, when I was looking at the description of the beer, and this, I went to their website, right, Flying Dog. Uh-huh. And they do a pretty good job of kind of laying it out. But further down, they had beer and food pairings, and they were showing that this goes well with sharp cheeses, sausages, etc. You know, all the things you kind of know a hopped up beer would go with. But it said, for more pairings, visit beerdinners.com. Clicked on it, go to Beer Dinners, had some recipes. It had a, here's a beer dinner for this one, here's a beer dinner for that one, soliciting you. If you've got Beer Dinners, let us know. We'll post it. I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. And then I noticed at the top has the Flying Dog logo. These guys said, what the hell, you know, we want to evangelize and spread the word, and it's not going to hurt us to advertise our, technically, competitors.
Well, it sounds like they're pretty much computer savvy, too. They must have somebody that's pretty much on the curve. You know?
I mean, you know it's brought to you by Flying Dog, but they're saying, here's everybody else, which I thought was, wow, that's pretty good. And this interview, this Eric Warner interview that I had, I stole it. When I went, did a little search, I came up and I stole it off of another website called craftbeertv.com. I thought, wow, this is pretty good. I look, and sure enough, this is another Flying Dog website. And they're featuring Avery. They're featuring Rogue. It's like anybody. They got a tour of the Rogue Brewery. So they're really, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to Flying Dog. They are really promoting the craft beer industry. They're leading the way. I think that's very, very forward thinking of them. They're,
I love the fact that the craft beer industry is so open and everybody's collaborating.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't got to really talk to the Flying Dog guys but you know, we know how Sam Calagione and Rob from Allagash and all those guys, they hang with each other. They don't see this so much as competition, so much as we're all in this together. And
right.
Eric
spoke at the NHC, the National Homebrewers Conference, last year. And he's a guy that I think would be a good friend, you know. You just, every once in a while, you see a guy up there like Sam. You know, I'd love to be Sam's friend.
They're just great guys.
Eric would be a great guy, too.
Yeah, real approachable, down to earth. And it's nice to see that they're all, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, Flying Dog, I've had just a hair of reservation, not because of their product, but because they're a big microbrewery, right? They're big. And it's good to see them as a big guy taking the lead in advancing craft beers. I was very impressed with their FlyingDog.com, BeerDinners.com, and CraftBeerTV.com. Very pleased to see that. And speaking of beer dinners, we've had
Of beer dinners.
Yeah.
My homebrew club, the Croc, they do an annual one. So went ahead and got some audio from the guy who coordinated this year. So here's Jim Fixari from Croc. You would listen.
Okay, this is Rick, and I'm joined with Jim Fixari from the Croc group. We had a homebrew beer pairing dinner last night, and you spoke pretty eloquently about the meal last night, and I was kind of hoping you could repeat some of that and describe it to people today.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, so what we did for the beer dinner is we tried to pair mainly homebrew with appetizers, main course, and dessert. And for the appetizers, we started off with a couple different cheeses. One was an aged Gouda that we served with a Russian Imperial Stout. The next one was a French goat cheese that we paired up with American barley wine. And then we had a smoked blue cheese that we served up with a double IPA.
Now, this is the first time I had smoked blue cheese, and that was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. We got the cheese up in this cheese shop in Longmont. So first time there, but it was just an awesome place. It has tremendous selection of cheeses, probably 200 to 300 different cheeses.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. So the other couple things that we had was an aged cheddar that we served with a wee heavy, and a triple cream that we had served with a triple and a saison. So that was our part of our appetizers. Along with that, we did have some Hefeweizen steamed clams. It's kind of a Belgian tradition, you know, when they make clams that they typically steam them with like a Belgian wit. So we just used a Hefeweizen instead, and I think those turned out excellent. And then we had some brown ale hot wings that were very hot. we actually got that from Lucy Saunders' book. She came out with a book recently, Growing with Beer. So we took that recipe and we paired that with a double IPA. I thought that turned out really well.
Yeah, that kind of had an interesting name. It was something like Your Lips Fall Off Hot Wings or something to that effect.
Yeah, they were pretty hot. And believe it or not, we actually, one of the other ingredients we actually omitted was extra hot sauce. So with the peppers that I grew in my garden, the habaneros and the jalapenos, we really didn't need any more hot sauce in there because it was plenty hot. So so after we had our appetizers, we had actually two main courses. One was a Weizenbach Sauerbraten with potato pancakes and applesauce. And I served that with actually like an apple cider, hard cider, and then we also served it with some Weizenbach. So the Sauerbraten recipe was really cool. It basically was some roast that I had, and it was about 6 pounds, so it was two different roasts. And I marinated that for 2 days with some dry red wine, actually some red wine that I had made, along with some wine vinegar, some peppercorn, some juniper berries, and celery, cloves, and bay leaf. And then it sat in the refrigerator for a couple days, pulled it out, and then made a sauce with the juice and added some crushed ginger snaps and a little tomato paste. And so that sauce went on top of the Sauerbraten. It was absolutely fantastic.
The Sauerbraten was extremely
tender. It just kind of fell apart.
Yeah, you did a great job with that, and the potato pancakes are one of my favorites from all time. So,
yeah, those were actually just homemade potato pancakes. We did them from scratch with whole potatoes, as you saw, and I think the pairing with the Sauerbraten, the potato pancakes, with the Weizenbach, and then the applesauce with the cider, I think that went extremely well together. Just a basic first course there.
Now, did you say you made the cider?
Yes, I did. Actually crushed the, we got the apples from Hodgkin's and we crushed them, about a year ago. It's kind of been sitting in my refrigerator for quite a while. And actually, last year, I entered the cider into the state fair and I won a silver medal with it. So it's a really excellent cider. It's probably about 2 years old now. And, I think it's come on. It's extremely crystal clear.
Yes, it was.
Right through the glass.
It looked just like apple juice, except it was a little more potent than that.
It was a little more potent, probably only 5%, but alcohol on that is deceiving. So in addition to the Sauerbraten, the other thing that we served was wee heavy roasted chicken with a green bean mushroom salad, and we actually had some homemade bread that was made with spent grain. And the other bread was actually made with a little bit of Hefeweizen in it. So the wee heavy roasted chicken, we actually used some wee heavy when we were roasting the chicken. It was at the bottom of the pan. And then as we were cooking it, we were basting the chicken with the wee heavy sauce as well. So I think that turned out excellent. I could, you know, almost taste a little bit of the wee heavy. It wasn't a very strong taste, but I definitely, you know, could taste that, you know, there's a little something in the chicken as far as marinade.
Yeah, I sampled quite a bit of the wee heavy last night.
Yeah, and I think the wee heavy that went along with that was just Rick did a fantastic job making that beer. Our last course was dessert. You know, we kind of wanted to go out with a bang on that one. So Donna Geithman in our club, she made a homemade German chocolate cake from scratch. It was outstanding. And we served that with a Baltic Porter and Munich Dunkel. Rick's wife, Linda, she made some Nuclearis crepes. So it's a crepe recipe that actually has some Nuclearis reduction. I think she used the cherry red for reduction sauce, and she added that to the crepes. And then she also had a reduction sauce on the side where you could pour it over with both the raspberry, the tart raspberry, and the cherry red. I thought that was excellent. And then we had some vanilla ice cream that we served with Imperial Stout and some dark Belgian chocolates.
So is this the first time? This is not the first time you guys have done a food and beer pairing.
This is probably the first time in about a year. We probably did about three or four other beer dinners like 2 years ago. And, you know, I think just, you know, maybe lost a little bit of interest in doing it. So Rick had volunteered to do this. He was going to do something in Oktoberfest, and hence all the Oktoberfest banners and posters and all that other, the menus were printed with the special paper that we had for Oktoberfest, coasters and all the place settings. So that was a little kit that he had. So we tried to do this a few months ago. It's, you know, timing's always critical when it comes time to, you know, getting like a beer dinner together when everybody can make it. It seems like every weekend somebody has something going on. So we just decided we were going to do it Saturday, and that was it.
Well, October, February, doesn't really matter. The dinner was fantastic, and I want to congratulate all you guys who contributed to that. So.
Yeah, well, thank you.
So that was the beer dinner, right? Recommend people kind of think about putting together some beer food combinations and maybe throwing a beer dinner for themselves, you know.
Now, what do you think about the difference between, okay, beer dinner, pairing beer with food, beer dinner, food made with beer?
I think it's all intertwined, but certainly the pairings are the more important part to me.
Yeah, because there's a lot of
things. Once you cook beer, you know, the alcohol's gone, it's become something else, it's part of the food. I kind of like to have the beer on its own to appreciate with the food, to appreciate that also.
Yeah. I got to go with you on that, too. Okay, why don't we take a break, and let's listen to our friends from last show, who I just enjoy so much.
More Hot Monkey Love?
More Hot Monkey Love. This is a blues standard, 3 o'clock blues.
Hang out. Yes, I believe this is the end. Oh, I said goodbye, everybody. Yes, I believe this is the end. You can tell my baby for me now. Oh, forgive me for my sins.
So we're back with our second beer from the Flying Dog series, the Gonzo Imperial Porter. I don't know how I felt about this, mainly because I hadn't opened it yet. Well, what did you
put your hands around it and feel it?
What it feels very glassy.
Yeah, it feels very
cool
good.
To the touch.
See,
what was your what did you think about the Double Dog?
I like the Double Dog.
You didn't have much to say during the first segment.
I was too busy drinking my drinking my Double Dog.
So you enjoyed that quite a bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I had that once before up in Nashville, and I really, really enjoyed it.
You know, I usually don't like a hoppy beer that like stays on your tongue afterwards, but this one does. But it's enjoyable.
I think it's got enough malt to, you know, make it pleasant enough.
Quite a bit, yeah. The 11.5%, you know, it's got a lot of malt.
Yeah,
but it's that kind of citrusy instead of piney, so I don't mind it. I don't mind having a lot of that.
Yeah, flavor. See, I'm a big grapefruit nut. I drink grapefruit juice. I eat grapefruit, and I love that style of hop. I'm more of that style than the pine style.
Yeah,
you always call it the Chinook, rip your face off.
Well, yeah, Chinook is the bad boy of the hops that are real piney. Mm-hmm. But you know, Columbus are too. A lot of your mainstream, and like we were talking about earlier, the hop, with the hop shortage and all, who knows, right? I mean, where things are going to go, maybe malt is going to be the predominant flavor here in a couple of years to come. But speaking of which, what you sent me, and I said, well, yeah, we got to mention this.
Yeah, it was something to do with the Boston Brewers.
Yeah, and in the first segment, we talked about how Flying Dog is really promoting craft beers with their beerdinners.com and their craft brew or craftbrewtv.com. And they don't care who you are. You know, there is no competition, per se, in craft beer. They're going to feature you. So very nice of them. And now Sam Adams, Boston Brewing Company, is kind of returning the favor, saying, look, you know, we're a big dog in the craft beer. And you guys need some hops. We're going to help you out. No questions asked.
I think they had their contracts with their hop growers and whatnot. So. Yeah. They're going to have plenty of hops, and they're going to be able to help out
the other
guys.
I was kind of on the fence about them because I thought, okay, maybe they're getting too big, a microbrew, but man, that's just that's
I think
really
a lot of it just
class
comes,
act.
I mean, everywhere I've gone, all the homebrewers, and you know, I've only been doing this homebrewing for a year, not even a year, and everybody is just so helpful, and I think that's kind of rolling over into this hop shortage and.
People, you think it's stayed
in.
With them?
I really do.
So they remember what it's like being a home brewer, and yeah, I think you're right. And it's really nice to see that kind of thing. And, you know, because it is temporary. It's only like a year, year and a half. Because remember, the deal was it wasn't because there isn't a hop shortage.
Right.
I'd maintain that. There's not a hop shortage. It's just demand has so far outpaced capacity. Nobody saw this coming, you know?
Yeah, and I think there's a little shortage, but not.
It's a
supply-demand type thing.
Yeah,
I think supply is just going through the. I mean,
demand has gone through the
roof, and well, and you got to realize too, a lot of these growers they're growing corn now.
Yeah,
where they used to grow hops, now they're growing other grains that are more profitable because the hops they've been so plentiful, the prices have been way down.
Right, and you got to do a little crop rotation too. You burn your soil out.
Correct. I was talking with Rick the other day, and he was telling me, and you guys might have talked about it too. He said he would pay like $3 an ounce.
Yeah, he told us about his raping of the hop.
Is that not crazy? $80, $90?
$90. Yeah, it's insane. Well, we've And for people who just can't spend enough money,
mm-hmm.
we've got, first, we've got something for sale.
It's
It's a microbrewery.
For those of you that have how much?
We don't know. It could be between $40,000 and $60,000.
Pocket it is change, man.
Yeah, chump change. You you can own your own microbrew. Actually, it is a microbrewery, and it's in Jackson, Tennessee right now, but it can be shipped anywhere, all stainless steel equipment. We'll get some reports in on the condition of the lines, but this is one that was put together by our friend Chuck Skypeck at Bosco's. So it's a ready-to-go production system. In my understanding, I don't know how many barrels it makes, but it's short in height.
Yeah,
it's
small.
You could technically put it in a garage. I think you'd be kind of pressed for
a I actually space. Walked up to it the other day when I was in that brewery. It's just a restaurant bar right now. And I walked up to the equipment, and the tanks are about
6 feet tall?
Yeah, about head high.
Yeah. Very nice.
So you're right. It would fit in the garage, yeah.
Wow.
And it'd take up a lot of room, but
it'd take up
your whole garage.
Yeah. Well, you don't need to park your cars indoors anyway, right?
You know, a garage is just something to put your stuff in, and your car stay in the driveway.
And this is a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll have some more details on that. And we're on to our second beer, the Gonzo Imperial Porter. And Beer Advocate gives this an A-.
I give it an A+.
I think so, too. Man, this is real close to stout for me. It's not as watery as some of the, you know, porters. I mean, I'm kind of usually disappointed in them.
Yeah.
This is more coffee tasting.
Mm-hmm. A lot of roast.
It's actually kind of Starbucky.
And see, what I like about the porters, I lean more toward the porters than the stouts because the stouts tend to be drier. And this, like you said, most of the porters are a little liquidy or
watery.
Call it watery.
I was listening to the Good Beer Show the other day, and they were all over the board on this porter they had because it's just kind of one of those, you know, porter was originally a blended mix. So this is the Gonzo Imperial Porter. Salute to Hunter S. Thompson. And because it's an Imperial Porter, it's also known as a Baltic Porter. Mm-hmm. And the key difference is the amount of time spent. You have to lager it a little bit, I think, and the high alcohol on it. So
very it's tasty.
And for a high alcohol beer, you know, we guessed about the ABV, and it came in kind of low, 9.5, which for a porter or an imperial stout, kind of on the low side. Got a good flavor in the head. Porter's a great head.
Oh, it's beautiful beer too. I mean, look at the colors.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very dark. This is black. You can't see through it. The head is a tan, and it's it persists.
And look at the dark ring around the head.
Yeah. It's got a good...
Beautiful color.
It looks like the Frappuccino or something that you get. It's very good. And it's got a good nose, and the taste, like you said, roasty is the word for this guy.
And the bottle, Flying Dog's one of my favorite breweries. I mean, their artwork is just second to none.
The Ralph Steadman.
Yeah, I mean,
artwork this on it.
They go to no expense.
Yeah, now you know they're moving, right?
Yeah, they're going to Maryland. Is that right? Yeah,
I don't know what's up with that. It's cheaper to brew in Maryland,
evidently.
But supposedly they've already been brewing there. You didn't know any different. Yeah. They're keeping the corporate offices in Colorado. So good stuff, and we got some more Hot Monkey Love.
All right.
can't get too much of that out.
Some of that monkey
Hot
love.
Hot Monkey Love. And this is the cut one off of, we played her CD last show, Primate Blues. And this is the music this time is from Speaking Evil, their second CD. And this is the number one cut, Palace of the King.
In the city of the wind. Yeah, it's been a month of Sundays talking about the places I have been. Yeah, I played the blues in England, visited the Queen. She reads all my style, quitting on my scene. I'm going back to Dallas, living in the Palace of the King.
much too old. Yeah, the kids, they talk funny, don't know what they say. Get my chicken pizza, the man with price I pay. Go back to daddy's, living in the palace of the king.
That was some hot monkey love. It's just with a name like Hot Man, Monkey Love, just can't go wrong.
It don't get no better.
And that was a pretty little rocking tune there. These guys are really good. I mean, I heard
good.
A bad cut. The most suck ass song they got is really
good.
And something else as good as this Gonzo Imperial Porter.
You know what I'd like to do is look at some of those artists on that Hot Monkey Love and see what they've done in the past.
All of the ones, all the guys that play with
them.
Because
they've all been playing forever, and
yeah,
they're all really good.
And we talked about that last show a little bit, but and definitely you should go and check out their site. And I don't know if we mentioned that their lead singer, Frankie Spider LaRocca, who's an A&R guy, for one of the labels, he played with numerous bands, passed away. So this second CD, the song that we just played was from their second CD. Frankie is not with them on this. But like their other CDs, if you look on the inside cover, buttload of people showing up to play with them. And it's like a who's who of
yeah, you can tell they have a good time because, man, they're tight.
Oh, yeah. And it's very well done. And these guys have next to no distribution. You got to go look them up. Hot Monkey Love. I mean, it's very, very good. And I know you can buy them on CD Baby and various and sundry other places. So we're working on the Flying Dog, the Gonzo. And speaking of shameless self-promotion, you did a little pimping out of us the other day.
Yeah, I was just sitting in the hotel room about 6:30 in the a.m. listening on the internet to a local radio station here in Memphis.
And already polished off your first beer of the day.
And yeah. A couple of Valium, you know.
That's right. Get the edge just right for the morning.
And I heard him talking about email. So I just sent him an email about our podcast. Mm. And they pimped it. This just in. Here it is.
Okay. Go ahead.
And I just sent him a little email and said, hey, you know, I've been listening to you guys forever. And at least you can do is listen to my show one time. So, you know, and it worked.
And the next thing that happened was this.
Yeah.
Mike wants to know if we could plug his website for him.
No.
He has a podcast where they talk about beer.
Cool.
So I know.
Well, what's the website? Go on and plug this clown.
The website is bigfoamyhead.com. We talk about beer, blues, and barbecue. One of the oldest on the net. Have a bunch of shows archived for your listening pleasure. I've listened to you guys for years, and I thought that maybe one of you guys could listen to one of my shows. And then it says LOL.
Zeke will. He likes beer.
And I know you'll like it.
Okay.
I don't make any money off of this. It's just a labor of love. Take care, you guys rock.
Go away.
Says Mike.
Mike's just a media whore.
I love it, man.
I don't care.
You know, I got two phone calls, one yesterday and one today, about people that have just, you know, and I've been telling these people about this show for 6 months, and they finally clicked on it and listened to it, and they really liked it.
Yeah.
And subscribing to it. So.
Good. More the better.
More the better.
So you whoring yourself out's not a bad thing.
I'm cheap and easy.
Well, Rick, what do you think about the Imperial Porter?
More like a Russian Imperial Stout from my perspective, the dark tan head. I've got yeast sediment.
Well, you know what? There is a little bit in there now that I look at it.
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah, there's a touch.
No, not of mine. I don't have any.
You just poured it in your glass.
I poured it in my glass. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Chunky style porter. It's good for you.
It's like that chunky Campbell soup.
So we talked about the brewery while you were out of the room. We talked about the brewery for sale, and we are just about to announce the one of the soon to be looked forward to events of the season, Brew Bubba's Homebrew Contest.
That's right. They're coming up with a pretty excellent list of prizes. I don't have the list in front of me, but I know that a Steel Conical is one of them, having the Coonan Brothers there in Michigan. Brew a batch of your beer is another prize that they're giving out. It's really a professional prize pack.
And don't they
so
fly?
I want to encourage nobody else to enter their beers.
Yeah, stay away.
Do not enter because I want to win some of the prizes.
What am I going to do? My plan is I'm going to like buy a really nice, you know, like a stone smoked porter or something, mm-hmm. pour it into a homebrew bottle and send it in and just to see. Don't tell.
Just see if it'll work.
Cap or something.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, don't they fly you in while they're brewing the beer and they pay for your travel and
it
all
is.
That?
It's all expenses paid, and they put you $300. Up at the very nice hotel. But I don't think it's fly. It's like Greyhound.
Okay.
but it's still all expenses. It's like a $49 bus ticket.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's your choice of that or the Disney cruise to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very nice.
That'd be sweet.
That's a joke.
And a new car.
Yeah. And a trip to Hawaii.
That's right.
And bling bling for your wife.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to keep the wife happy.
They got t-shirts, right? Or something.
Something. No, they've got a pretty excellent prize pack. But you still have time to brew. I mean, that's the nice thing about it. They've given us a lot of advance notice so that because it is a big beer fest or a competition, you know, these things have to cellar for at least 6 months or so.
And it actually, I'm looking at it, it says, and if you look at the categories, there's nothing light about this.
It's a big beer style deal.
And we haven't announced, the website is brewbubbas.com. And you click through here, it says that the, here you go, prizes, 8-gallon conical. A $50 gift certificate from Cap'n Cork, $50 from Hopman's, something from Bleakman Engineering, whoever they are, a 5-gallon ice blanket, and something from Hop Union. So they're still collecting prizes. And like I said, Rick, the winning beer will be brewed at Coonan's Brewery and put on tap at the pub. Also receive 5 gallons of the beer for themselves. So I'm assuming this would be another 5 gallons of your own beer.
Mm-hmm.
And
if they brew,
the winner will be allowed to brew this beer with the brewers themselves. So
that would be cool. Yeah,
here it is. We were not even though we're screwing around about it. It says the winner will receive a $300 travel voucher if mm-hmm. he or she doesn't live within driving distance to Coonan's.
Mm-hmm.
More details, more prizes. But since we've already mentioned some of the details on episode 40 of the Brew Bubbas, we figure we better start sharing. And so the date is August.
Yeah, they're going to start judging in August.
Doesn't have a day.
Yeah, they said more details will follow.
Okay, so they're going to start the judging in August.
Right.
And the best first place beers from each. Ah, here you go. The contest will run for 6 months.
Okay.
From August through January 2009. The first place beers from each month will go head to head to determine the best of show. So I'm guessing, it doesn't tell me on here that if you send it in, you have to tell them what month, I'm guessing?
Well, you could enter a beer, send them 6 beers and enter one in each month.
There you go.
Some get better with age.
Well, we'll talk to the Brew Bubbas and get these specifics on here because this is raising more questions than it's answering.
I'll tell you, though, I've been wanting to go to Michigan for a beer road trip for a long time. I mean, I'd like to go to New Holland and get some Dragon's Milk. I'd like to go to Schwartz Brewing.
And who is it that makes Dark Lord? Three Floyds. Three Floyds, and there's a whole bunch of good beer coming out
Bales
of there.
Brewing out of Kalamazoo.
The Two Heart.
Coonan Brothers, they've got a creme brulee that I've been wanting to try forever.
So there's a ton of good beers there. So anything you send in, these guys have been having some good beer, and it's sure to be a really, really good contest. So we'll check in with the Brew Bubbas and get some more information on the contest, and I guess keep people posted.
Can they go to Beer Safari and
absolutely
find Brew Bubbas?
Where else would you get it other than brewbubbas.com? And go to beersafari.com.
It's a jungle out there.
Jungle of beer out there. All the beer shows, and a few that suck, quite possibly this one. And so big deal. So Rick, what's going on out there in the wilderness?
Not a lot. I've got I'm trying to get into another Avery tasting. I've become an Avery bitch. So
they just had their way with
you. I'm like outside the door panting, waiting to get in. But they're having a hop tasting vertical this Wednesday, so I'm hoping to get in that.
Man,
I got my email from them today.
Oh, did you? Okay, so you signed up for their list?
Evidently. I don't recall. I believe it was one of those lost moments while in the tasting room. But yeah, Adam Avery sent me an email about the Hop Lovers Club.
The Society for the Pursuit of Hoppiness.
There you go. Yeah. So. Except I didn't get a T-shirt.
I am a T-shirt-wearing society member.
I just got an email. I suppose I could print it out and paste it to my chest.
I'm mad, that I live in Memphis, Tennessee.
You suck.
Man.
It's a desert out here.
Man.
So,
but
you guys have Bosco's, though.
True.
Yeah, I know.
GABF winning beer right there.
I know. If we didn't have Bosco's, we'd just,
But we could live somewhere in the middle of Mississippi, and they just had a Senate bill that failed to get their ABV raised to 17%.
Still? Okay.
Yeah.
So they're
still at 5%.
Yeah.
So imagine living in Mississippi. You don't get to experience any of these good beers.
Well, that's true.
Unless you bootleg.
And we were talking, Rick, again about what we talked about earlier about the hop prices and stuff. This one, and I didn't get a grain bill or a hop bill on this Imperial Porter, but it's got to be on up there. This has got a little bit of a hop, nice finish. Doesn't stick around.
No, it's
not
great,
like the Double
Dog.
Beer.
It's a great beer.
So
yeah, those brewers that do not have hop contracts are going to have a hard time surviving this year. I'm looking at the Brew Bubba's list of prizes: $50 gift certificate.
That's one batch.
$30 for hops. That doesn't really leave a lot left over for the malts and the yeast. So.
Hey, you know what you need? You need to go buy up all these brew kits that they got now that are at, earlier prices.
All right. I'm going to be watching to see if hops start showing up on eBay.
They very well could. Auctioning them.
Yeah.
Highest bidder.
So we've got some more. We got another beer here that Mike brought over. And, Rick, you're screwed on this one.
Too bad.
Well, I'm still enjoying the Gonzo Imperial Porter.
Well, we're wonderful. About to break out the inaugural opening of, I think you already got into it before though, didn't you?
I just sampled it, going from fermenter, secondary fermenter to bottling bucket to bottles.
It's pear cider.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So Mike's homebrew is ready to make a debut. He's going over to the refrigerator to get it right now. We got to get some clean glasses because I don't think it's going to mix too well with a porter.
But in the spirit of open disclosure, you don't actually brew a cider. Right?
Okay. Well, what do you do?
Perry. Well, I think you just pour the pear juice in a fermenter and pour some yeast.
Okay, yeah. You don't boil it or do a hop addition. Uh-uh. Okay, well, this just in on eBay. 2 ounces of Cascade Hop Plugs, $8 is a starting bid. How many bids have we had so far? Oh, just one. They're starting Cascade. Like the genericest hop is $8.
That's $4 an ounce. Yeah, that's pretty pricey.
This is on eBay right now. What's the expiration?
And you got to pay for shipping and everything else. So.
Yeah. What's the expiration? The 7th? Okay. So we need to check back in a couple of days to see how, God, Mike, this, I wouldn't take this, get a drug test. Pretty clear. Okay, but it's pear, though.
It's pear.
It is supposed to be kind of clear. Yeah. It's very clear. You said, look how clear it is. There is like zip for a, smells great.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Mmm. Smell that. Smells like pear.
Smells like pear.
So, Mike, tell us about this yeast and how long did it ferment? And what was it like when it was fermenting? I've never done a pear.
Well, I got a can of pear concentrate from Mid-South Malts, and it was about a gallon, and put that in the fermenter. You melt 4 pounds of sugar.
Melt it?
Melt it with water.
Like in a...
Just a, little warm, water, yeah, just enough to melt it.
Dissolve it, okay.
Put it in the fermenter with the pear concentrate, stir everything up, throw your yeast in there, put the airlock on it, and you're done.
Well, this is very, very clean. You know what this reminds me of? Almost, if it was a little more effervescent, a mimosa. It's got that kind of sparkly.
It kind of reminds me of the Lindemans.
Mm-hmm.
The palm.
Except it doesn't have it doesn't have any kind of bitter finish. Or a
no,
sour.
No, don't have that sour taste. Right. But,
no, it's very good. Very sweet. I mean, very nice.
And see, I just bottled this Sunday, so it doesn't have a lot of bubbles.
Yeah, well, this could not be more immature.
Yeah.
But it's really
good. It's got a good flavor to it.
Yeah, it's great flavor to it.
And it's got, you can tell it's got a little alcohol if you kind of,
yeah, just,
you
know, it's got a little
flicker
little,
it on your tongue a little bit. You can feel it.
Yeah, very nice. Because I know we had the last fruit-based beverage we had the Clark's apple cider that he did with the champagne yeast. This is a lot sweeter, not dry. It's a sweeter one. Yeah, this is good. This will probably give you a god-awful hangover. Clinging to the bowl, just praying to God it'd stop.
A carboy or a bucket?
Carboy.
Okay, so did it have the nice big head like the croissant that you see with the beer?
Actually, it didn't. It was on the bottom. I used a lager yeast, a California lager yeast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so,
it's pretty much on the bottom, and it really didn't bubble a whole lot while it was fermenting. But if you ever shook it just a little bit, I mean, it was almost like the airlock was getting ready to pop off the top.
Yeah. So you had to keep this thing kind of agitated to keep it.
A little. I would stir it, slosh it around about every 3-4 days, but it did pretty good.
Well, we had a loss in the music world today, or was it today? Yesterday.
Might have been yesterday. Last
of course,
night.
By the time you hear it was last week. Jeff Healey.
Passed away.
41. Cancer got him.
Yeah.
And Jeff Healey. Young. Yeah, very young, and he was a guy who got a little bit of notoriety in the, what was he, like 20-something? When the movie Roadhouse, a god-awful, horrible movie.
Yeah, Patrick Swayze.
But it had the band in the bar, and the blind guy playing the guitar in his lap was Jeff Healey.
That was Jeff Healey.
Who was very accomplished, and the sad thing was, I knew about him before the movie, and I had like a cassette tape of him, and he just really did some good tunes, but he kind of peaked then and went into jazz, which apparently was his forte. He really loved playing jazz guitar, but it wouldn't pay the rent.
No,
so
it's kinda like a blues musician, you know.
Yeah, except in his case, he had to go be a blues musician just to pay the rent. So he's left us, and we were looking for some Jeff Healey. You know, he's got a couple of things. And what was the big deal was he was about to make a comeback.
Yeah, he got a new album coming out in April, I believe.
Yeah, so it'll be a posthumous album. And We've got a Jeff Healey song to close out the show, and this is a blues classic, Hoochie Coochie Man.
Mm-hmm. And he's got a wife and two kids living behind. So if you can, get out there, buy the album, help his family and kids out.
Pay the rent.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's wind it up. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back and see us.
Gypsy woman told my mother before I was born. Said you got a boy child coming, you're gonna be one son of a gun. You're gonna make pretty women jump up and down and shout. Then the world gonna know, ooh, what's it all about? Cause you know I'm here. Everybody knows I'm here. Well, no hoochie coochie man, and the world knows I'm here. I got a black cap on, got a mojo too. I got the little John of Conaloo. Yes, and I'm gonna mess with you. Yeah, I'm gonna make you girls come on up here and grab me right by my hand. Leave me out of here, man. But the world gonna know I'm your hoochie coochie man. But you know I'm here. Everybody knows I'm here. The whole damn world knows I'm here. Rush, yeah. Coming all the way from Atlanta. Seventh hour of that seventh day, the seventh month
Oh, seven doctors say he was born for good luck. That you'll see. I got $700, baby. Don't you mess with me. You know I'm here.
Once again for Jeff Healy!